The WLEW News and Public Affairs Department now presents What Do You Think? Here is your host, Craig Routson, with today's topic.
Good morning. We have a couple of guests in the studio today. We have Doug Haslett, Assistant Principal at the Huron Area Tech Center, and Rick Smith. He's with Mid-Michigan Community College, the off-campus program coordinator. We'll be talking about some of the college courses that are available both for high school students and the general public through the Huron Area Tech Center and Mid-Michigan Community College. Thanks for being with us, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I guess the first question I would ask is, where is Mid-Michigan College stationed out of?
Yeah, good question.
Is that a major question, because you are spread out?
We are spread out a little bit, but our main campuses are in Harrison, Michigan, and Mount Pleasant, Michigan. The original campus is actually in Harrison.
Mid-Michigan as you can get right there.
It is. And we're actually celebrating our 50th anniversary this year. So 1965, the Harrison campus opened. So.
But you have campuses many places and affiliations like you have with the Huron Area Tech Center here to spread your programs further out.
We do. We have about 10 off-site locations. A couple that are kind of true satellite campuses and others that offer maybe a course or two. So, yeah.
And how have we been doing in Bad Axe? Have we been growing? Are we finding our niche?
We have been growing. As a matter of fact, in 2013-2014 academic year, we started out with about two cohorts of students, about 20 students. Overall, and this past year, 2014-2015, we've had three cohorts, so we've had between 60-70 students, give or take, here and there, and it has grown significantly. And you know, it's an opportunity, I think, where students have been able to earn a significant portion of their college degree while they're still in high school, and the courses are not only for dual enrollment for dual enrolled students, but also for the general public too. So we've had a few students that are either traditional students or non-traditional students that are taking some classes there at the Tech Center.
And what type of degree can they get out of your institution? Is it a BA, BS, an ABC? I don't know.
Yeah, right. We have certificate degrees, associate's degrees, associate in arts, associate in science degrees. The main focus of our courses at the Tech Center have been what are called courses that are general education courses. So from psychology to English to sociology to math, a number of introductory courses for students that really help them begin to start making progress toward a certificate or a degree. The certificate programs are typically one-year programs, where the degrees are two-year, about 60 credits, about 62 credits. So
many of them transferable if they go on, because a lot of times they're hoping to save costs by taking some of the courses locally and live with mom and dad maybe a little longer, or while they're in high school,
right.
And then they can use them to further their education without having to redo them.
Yes, those are the things that when we talk about which classes we're going to offer, you know, Doug and I talk about, you know, which classes are going to transfer where, and we've really tried to identify courses that are more general in nature, but are highly transferable to four-year institutions or even other two-year institutions that may have programs that we don't offer. So.
And obviously for the students that participate, these would be entry-level college programs that you would probably have to take your first year anyway if you were going elsewhere. And that way you kind of get a little feel for what's expected of you in college. And again, because you're a student, maybe get a little help from the school district as far as the costs go, and you get a jump start on it.
Yeah, there's something called the Michigan Transfer Agreement, where the universities have signed on to accept these credits. And what we currently are trying to do is follow that Michigan Transfer Agreement. We've had students transfer anywhere from 40 to 50 college credits. So in some cases, they're coming in as second semester sophomores, first semester juniors. But one of the things that we are working with is to make sure they are successful so that when they do whether they finish at Mid-Michigan or if they transfer somewhere else, that they do complete. As a high school principal, I saw nothing worse than a student that came back after one or two semesters, maybe had $15,000 or $20,000 of student loan debt, but didn't have a degree and didn't have any credentials to get a better job, but still had to pay that debt back.
And this also, I assume, is geared so that the schools that send them to the tech center, and you work to try and make sure the student has a good experience in this, because this is a stepping stone to a full-blown college when they're away from home that, gives them that little extra, well, at least I'm familiar with what's expected of me in the courses.
And that's exactly right. They've learned how to communicate with their professors. They've learned how to communicate with instructors. They understand the transfer of classes. Sandy Smith, who is our social worker counselor at the tech center, works with these students that as they graduate, she helps them with their financial aid applications so that as they're looking at where they're going to go and transfer, they are prepared. And when they come back and they tell us that they've gone off to school and their roommates are all first semester students and they don't understand how the system works, they just nod their head and say, yep, we've been through that, we know how it works, and it makes their life much easier.
And it also starts them off without the harsh change from a high school atmosphere to a college, where in a high school you'd have maybe 20, 25 kids in a class. Sometimes in college and universities, you're in this big lecture room and there can be 70, 80 kids there, and you don't really have that one-on-one connection with the teacher that you might have, or professor at the college,
sure,
that you'd have in high school. It's a whole different atmosphere.
It is, yeah. It's, I think one of the goals that Mid-Michigan has in terms of offering classes that are either specific to dual enrollment or include other traditional students, the goal is to help students, I think, navigate what we call this higher education process. And there's so many different things, like you talked about, where students who go into a big university setting really may have a difficult time with, how do I get my textbooks? Where do I get my textbooks? How do I pay for them? How do I get financial aid? How do I get assistance if I need help in classes? It can be a very complex process. And so our goal is to really, with the supports of many of the secondary schools that we're working with, and especially here at the Technical Center with Doug and his staff, we're able to provide some of those extra supports that students might not necessarily, receive otherwise. I mean, there's someone that's there that can answer questions if students have an immediate question that they need answered. And I'm a resource that people can contact me if they have questions about certain things. And so I think the main goal is to try to help students navigate this higher education process. And I think that's where the benefit comes in to the students and ensuring that they are successful when they're taking the college classes.
Students today would have a little easier time, I think, than even some of the people going back to college with things like books, because a lot of times mm-hmm. books today are on an iPad or in a digital form that, do you have to buy it? Can you rent it? I mean, there's all kinds of, because it's digital form, can I share it with someone? All these things come into play and you got to know the ins and outs to make sure that you properly navigate the system.
You're right. Absolutely right.
And one of the things that we find is about 85% of the students who are taking the dual enrolled classes are first generation college students. So many times their parents don't have the prior experience of helping and assisting. So sometimes we have to help and assist the parents through the process as well as in assisting the students. And that seems to help a lot.
And doesn't it also help the students who go to the program, because most of these students are, well, a little more advanced in their education than maybe the general population. They can handle the materials. And there's always a fear in the schools of, you've got a smart kid, but he's bored because there's no challenge for him. And this offers that extra challenge that not everybody could maybe participate in, but more and more students are still being challenged.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think with the economic times that we've experienced in recent years, it's been more of a challenge, I think, for the secondary schools to be able to offer some advanced course offerings. And this is another way, through dual enrollment or concurrent enrollment. There's several different names that are terms that are quite often used, but these opportunities, I think, provide some challenging experiences for students who really do need to be challenged so that they can remain engaged and continue to have that desire to further their education.
Because you're pulling from four or five different school districts around the area, you're able to get a full class.
Yes.
They don't have to schedule a class and have only three kids interested in it, pay a teacher, get the materials, and all of that. You've got it centrally located,
yeah.
And they can all go there, and you've got a full classroom setting for them.
That's definitely been an advantage, I think, having the classes at the Technical Center where there are a number of districts that are sending students. It makes it more feasible for and conducive for running classes and offering, you know, classes that, you know, don't have really low enrollment. And, you know, the more students I think you get in a class, the more diversity that you see, and
well, you
the,
get each
the
other's
richer,
interactions.
Their
take on the material that you
absolutely.
May not have seen.
Absolutely, yeah, much richer discussions and certainly experiences that are able to be shared amongst individuals to really make it a worthwhile experience.
But then everybody has to get on board as to what time all of this is going to happen and everything else. So do you do
sure.
college courses just in the afternoon? Do you do them morning and afternoon based on the numbers you think? If you've got an instructor that maybe there's enough for two classes, they do a morning and an afternoon? Because the students, for the most part, have to generally spend a half a day at their regular campus to get the rest of the credits they need to graduate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've the last couple of years, we've been running these cohorts of students. So there's about 20 students, and each of those students, for example, in the fall would be taking three different classes. They might have a Monday-Wednesday combination class, a Tuesday-Thursday combination class, and then a three-hour block on a Friday. So they're really taking three classes, on average about 9 credits, and they're moving through together as a cohort for the most part. And then the next semester, they're taking a set of courses together. And then the following year, their senior year, or the next year, they'd be taking different sets of classes together. And so those are offered in the morning from 8:30 to 11:30-ish, 11 to 11:30-ish. And then in the afternoon, another round of classes, a different cohort, usually takes classes from noon until about 2:30. And
you might have the more advanced college courses for those who've been there on a second year basis in one part of the day, and then the first generation
right.
of courses the second half of the day, so that
right.
they're all together at the same time.
Yeah, we also need to consider, you know, prerequisites for classes. So students are, you know, if they're taking math, then they need to make sure that they meet the prerequisites for each of the sequential courses that take place after that.
Algebra,
so,
calculus, all
sure.
of this starts coming to my mind. I hate to date
absolutely.
Myself, but when I was in school, they wouldn't even let you use a slide rule.
Yeah, those are
the old days.
Those are the old days, yep, exactly. So.
But for the most part, is it such advanced that they can use a calculator? It's more knowing how to do the work, how to get to the end, rather than using it all in your head, because if you were counting on me to do something in my head that's too advanced,
mm-hmm.
you wouldn't want to be flying to the moon on those calculations.
Right.
the students use scientific calculators. They start with a intermediate algebra class, which is college intermediate algebra. Then they take a stats class. Their second year, they take a college pre-calc class, and you know, they're using calculators, scientific calculators. These students are very tech savvy and use all the tools that are available to them.
When do the kids usually start? You mentioned, you know, sophomores, and that is that about as early as they get into the program, as they say sophomore, and then they may have 3 years of of Tech Center College courses to give them a boost, or obviously it's going to be based on what the student can do, but and the prerequisites that they have to have for the courses, but they can start that early?
They can start as early as the 10th grade. We've had two students as 10th graders actually start taking college classes. Most of our students are juniors and seniors. A lot of them will come as juniors, and then because they will have their prerequisite classes taken at their home school, so they'll come and take 2 years of college classes their junior or senior year. But as I said, we've had some highly advanced sophomores, a couple of those that actually started as 10th graders, so they'll have 3 years of college when they graduate from high school.
And it keeps them challenged, because a 10th grader bored is about the last thing anybody in a school wants.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you're exactly right. Yes.
When the students take the courses, are they working with counselors all the way through this process? Because kids' minds change. They go in with an idea, I want to do this, and, you know, in 10th grade, what you want to do and what you want to do at graduation and what you want to do after college can be three or four different things, because you see what this type of education can lead to that may be a side branch of what you're doing. We talked locally of agriculture. It mm-hmm. isn't just farming. And there's a whole industry around us in agriculture that can be an offshoot of that.
Sure.
So do you find that you need to keep the kids on track with what they are thinking currently, so that maybe the course we're setting out maybe needs to be altered a little bit, so what they're thinking of now is going to be a possibility?
I think having a resource, whether it's the counselor at the technical center, and in some cases we've had students that have contacted our advisors at one of the main campuses. We, you know, with technology that we have nowadays, we can communicate through the internet, whether it's by Skyping or...
Really? Oh, this
or,
is,
yeah.
In my day, oh man, you used the phone and you didn't use long distance because that cost you.
Yeah. Yes. But there are some ways that we've tried to be creative in trying to get students in contact with our experts at the campus in terms of making sure that students are staying on track. And it is important that students are taking classes that are going to lead toward you know, something that's going to meet their educational goals, whether that's a certificate, a specialized training, or whether it's a degree, an associate's degree, or whether that's to obtain the Michigan Transfer Agreement, the 30 block of transfer credits to be able to transfer to another institution. And so many students have so many different goals, and so it is very important that somebody is working with them. And so we've worked to try to ensure that those students are taking classes that are going to lead toward completion.
And again, helps them once they get to an institution when they're away from home, they know how this works. You know, if you're getting a different mindset, maybe I need to talk to someone about what courses I need to get there instead of mm-hmm. where I was heading originally. All of this comes into play and just helps the students succeed.
Absolutely. I would say too that one of the things that we've also done too, and the Technical Center has been very open to this, and I think it's helped the students a lot, and that is to you know, send a bus over to the Mount Pleasant campus and give the students an opportunity to experience what actually might take place on a larger scale, in a bigger setting, so that they get some experience there. They also meet some of our full-time instructors that teach these classes full-time, and so it gives them another taste of what college is really all about, I think.
Now, like you were talking here, you know, technical certificates and that, is this kind of the area where the governor's trying to push, where people, you know, get an extra education out of high school, but more directed toward a certificate that says you're proper at TIG welding or other things that industry is looking for, that some of our businesses around here have a hard time placing people with?
Yes, you're absolutely correct. I think in addition to that, not only just specific technical or occupational skills, but also just the idea of completing a degree in higher education or a certificate, some type of training that students can use to find gainful employment. And, you know, the completion rates always seem to be a challenge, retention rates and that type of thing. And in college is difficult. It's and it's not just, I think, geared toward students who are the in the upper echelon of students anymore. The state of Michigan, and I commend this, is really trying to, I think, give some opportunities to students that might not otherwise have a chance to go to college. And I think that's the whole idea. And so, you know, it's anticipated that there's going to be millions of job openings, you know, in the future here, and there's going to be a shortage of individuals who have the training to be able to step into those jobs. And so, you know, I think this is a way that we can work together to try to fill that gap and make sure that students are prepared for the future.
Does it also foster the notion of continuing education in your field? Teachers, they have to keep up their certification, they have to do courses, you know, in the summertime. Everyone thinks they get the summer off, but many times they're taking courses to keep their certification up in certain areas. Things change, industry change, technology changes, and you have to keep up with it. Is it an important step in keeping the students becoming adults and into the workforce reminded that there is a continuing education aspect to most jobs today?
Yeah, I would agree. Sometimes we have to be the bearer of bad news when we tell the student, just because you've completed high school doesn't mean you get to stop going to school or learning. You'll have to learn for the rest of your life. And that's exactly what you're talking about. Because of the change of technology, the change in all areas of industry and business, everybody will have to learn for the rest of their life, which is part of the reason why we've worked to bring a satellite campus here to Huron County. The next closest campus was 90 miles away. So if you need to learn and to upgrade your skills, it was kind of cost prohibitive, especially when we used to have $4 gas to drive 90 miles one way after working all day to go to school. So we,
and let's just say it, in a blizzard.
Yes.
We put up with that this year.
Yes.
So that's part of what, in looking at trying to grow more and more programs and more opportunities here, to offer that to, so it's not as prohibitive.
And we were talking a little bit before the program, people today don't always just stay in one job for their whole lives. They have midlife career changes, they have secondary career changes, they're in a field and they see another part of that industry that they'd like to go to. All of this fosters that, yeah, you can go to get some more education and go in that direction you'd like to travel and make life a little more interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think what most people probably think of in terms of college education is very specific.
4 years to graduate and I'm done and I got the degree and I can
right.
do whatever I want with it. And
very,
it's an ongoing thing.
Very specific discipline in which they study. And actually what the colleges work towards and many institutions are working towards now is, and that's the idea, I think, behind general education. Sometimes there's a misunderstanding, I think, of what general education is, getting your gen eds. It's that broad knowledge that will help and not only foster some of the soft skills that students, I think, need to have for employment. I mean, they need to be able to communicate. They need to be able to do a number of things, think critically, solve problems. And those are some of the things that I think that general education can provide, in addition to very specified discipline knowledge, more of a deep knowledge of a specific discipline.
I've told people this, and when I was in high school, you got electives classes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we kind of, well, okay, I had hard math and all this other stuff, so I took things like typing and creative writing. And what do I use today? Typing, creative writing.
Absolutely.
You know, I took these things and I thought they were just to do them. And they become a building block of what I'm doing today.
Absolutely. Yes, those are definitely, you know, I think, you know, sometimes we don't always understand when we're taking a class why we're doing, you know, what it is that we're doing at the moment. But then maybe that light bulb comes on several years later and we go, man, I'm really glad I had that background, or I had that, you know, I now have that knowledge that I can use.
Meanwhile, all those logarithms I learned, I don't have a I don't have a chart in my pocket all the time to figure them out.
That's right. That's right.
Now, we've been talking mainly about students, but some of these courses are available to the general public because people do want to go back to school, do need to keep up accreditation. Sure. We have businesses who are looking to keep their people skilled in certain areas and maybe get some skills brushed up or updated. So you also work with the Tech Center on these types of programs.
Absolutely. We've had discussions about a number of different programs. We've even tried offering a class, computer automated drafting and design, a CAD. We've tried to put something along those lines together for students, and we haven't had the enrollment to run those as of yet, but we're certainly very interested in trying to gain more interest from the community to take some of those classes. And really, you know, we're open to discussion in terms of really any type of program that might benefit the community. We've talked about some rapid response type training where individuals could get 6 weeks of very specific training that might allow them to advance in their current job or you know, get some type of certification so that they can get a job. So there's a number of different things that we've talked about, and so yeah, it's not just the high school students who are dual enrolling, but we're certainly open to providing opportunities for the general public too that wish to either go back to school or really get out there and get some college experience so that they can you know, get a better job or get a job.
Or a better job where they're working now.
Exactly. Absolutely.
It would help, I would think, that you partner with a facility like the Huron Area Tech Center. They have computer labs. They have a bunch of other equipment in there for different programs and such. Rather than just going downtown and renting a couple of rooms and setting up desks and chairs, you have a whole facility there. It's the community's facility. We think of it for the kids, but it's actually for the whole community. There are courses at night for people who want to go there to take and brush up on things. So it's not just for the kids. The whole community can take advantage of it, and this type of program fits right away.
It does. We're finding that the technical center there has many of the supplies and equipment and things that we need to be able to offer the college classes. It usually means that Doug and I get together and we talk about, okay, we want to try to offer this, and then we talk about, okay, what do you have and what do we need, and so but we're, you know, it can take some time sometimes, but we're usually able to pull things together rather quickly and try to offer the classes. So yes, it's certainly been an advantage to have a technical center that's well equipped and, you know, with technology, with specialized equipment in some of the technical areas, and it's been a big advantage.
Now, if a business has a need, do they contact the tech center and then go to you to see if you can find programs that can help some of their people with brushing up on skills they need? Maybe a new piece of equipment is coming in and it's going to be using a whole different type of computer programming, and they need to learn how to do this. Mm-hmm. You know, you can send them off to Chicago for a seminar on this and hope they come back and teach the rest of the people, or maybe have set up something so that they can send all their people there and the ones don't come back and learned it wrong.
Right. We actually have, Mid-Michigan Community College has a website that's set up for the Huron ISD or the technical center there. And I can share that with you. It's www.midmich.edu/HISD. So it's www.midmich.edu/HISD. Folks can go to that website. They can learn more about the specific courses that we're currently offering. If they have an interest in taking specific courses, or they just want to express interest, or whether they want to gain some more information, they can go to that website and there's an area for them to click on, include their contact information, and someone from the college will get back with them and talk to them specifically about, you know, what it is they might have an interest in.
But at the same time, if somebody wants to talk to a real live human being, they can contact us at the Huron Area Tech Center anytime at 269-9284. And even if it's one of those, well, what if, or I wonder if, can they offer this? have them give us a call at the tech center, and we can help direct them also.
Is there a minimum load people need to take? Because sometimes if you're getting back into the swing of education and you're still working, mm-hmm. Again, like the students we talked about, you don't want to set them up to fail either. Right. You want a good experience at first, and if they can handle more, then down the road you can take two courses. And, you know, you'd want to make sure that, but you don't want to drag it out for 12 years either.
Right. Right.
There's a balance in there. Is that where counselors come in? Is this where you just need to talk to someone who knows the ropes?
It is. There are advisors at MID that specialize in transfer. There are advisors that specialize in certain programs. And so if somebody contacts the college, then they'd be routed to the individual that would be able to provide them the assistance they need in a certain area. And
they can tell you which course you need to take first.
Absolutely.
Because you're going to need this background to succeed in this course.
Absolutely.
And not set yourself up, again, to fail by going the wrong direction.
Absolutely. There's a number of things, and it's actually with every new student, there's a one-hour orientation that takes place. In that orientation, they're learning about the what's called LMS, the Learning Management System, or the platform that's used online, with not just the online courses, but many of our on-ground or face-to-face courses. So students learn how to, the LMS that we use is Moodle, so they learn how to go into Moodle, how to navigate that software, that system, so that they can find out how they're doing with each of their assignments. They sometimes submit assignments that way. And so they learn that, but then they also speak to an advisor that, you know, if they're going to need financial aid or some type of financial assistance in that regard, then they work with them in that respect as well. So there's a system that's set up there to try to meet the needs of each of the students.
Before we started, you'd told me that most of the courses offered locally are face-to-face. They're not telecommuting. They're not long-distance learning.
That's
there's
correct.
An actual body in here.
Yes.
And in fact, many times it may be someone from the local area who has the capability to teach that course. They've retired or whatever, and you find people locally, so they're more reliable to get here during the winter storms and the rest to see that the course is taken and that you get all the hours in you need to get the credits.
Right, absolutely. We do have a number of instructional deliveries, primarily at the ISD. It's been face-to-face. We have had a couple of what are called ITV classes. Actually, our literature class, I think, has been run in that regard, where it's through TV monitor between, at a distance.
But it's interactive.
But it's interactive.
You can ask questions, and they can hear you and answer back. It isn't just like sticking a DVD in and here's course one.
Absolutely.
Here's week two. I mean, there's interaction. You can ask questions and
there's immediate feedback, yes, which is very helpful for students and their success in their education.
And the tech center was one of the first places that could offer that in the area. I mean, businesses were using it for a time because you had the room available that, if they wanted to talk to their factory in Texas or something, yeah, that they could do mm-hmm. that.
And our technology people have actually upgraded that now to where, with the high-speed fiber optics that we have, it is very much real-time, very clear picture, the same conversation as if we were standing across from each other without any lag time. And we actually have them on carts that we can move from classroom to classroom, so it doesn't have to be just in one place. So we have a variety of different ways of being able to offer those types of educational opportunities.
But it isn't just almost independent learning. Here you could take the disc home and do it. There is an instructor telling you what you need to know and what's going to be on the test, hopefully.
Yes.
And,
yes, absolutely.
And you can study for what you need to know.
Absolutely. One of the things, too, that we were hoping to be able to share is that this Friday, March 20th, we're having an adjunct career fair. So anybody in the area who's interested in teaching college courses, they're welcome to attend that fair. And it's from 2 to 6 p.m. this Friday, March 20th. It's at the Huron Area Technical Center. I will be there. There will be some representatives from the Human Resources Office at Mid-Michigan Community College that will be there also to try to answer questions and that type of thing. And we would invite individuals to bring their resume with them and sit down and have a conversation with us for a little bit.
And you, as I understand it, you don't necessarily have to have a teaching degree to do this. It's your background, it's your experience, you know the material, and you're basically looking in one of these forums to see if this is the type of person they really can communicate and get the idea across.
Right. Yeah, applicants would go through a full application process, so they would meet with somebody from HR and usually myself and somebody from, you know, the department to go through an interview process. And, you know, we're looking at their experience. It's preferred that they have a master's degree in a specific discipline or content area at least.
It's better that they know more than the students going in.
It is. It is helpful.
Although some high school kids will tell you they know more than their teacher because that's
sure,
high school.
Absolutely.
But there are some situations within technical areas that a bachelor's degree or an associate degree with years of experience, they can possibly teach those types of classes. Mm-hmm. That's where, so at this adjunct career fair, what I'd like people to understand is it's not just a math or science or English person. It could be somebody who has worked in business, in industry, a CPA for accounting. It could be a company executive. It could be a department head in one of our area of industries. Anybody that would like to possibly teach and give back to the community, we'd love to have them come to the career fair.
And there are teaching possibilities during the day, you know, in some cases in the evening, so it just depends on an instructor's availability and that type of thing. And so it's, I think teaching too is an opportunity for the community to kind of give back to the students in the area and share their expertise and be able to provide students with an excellent experience.
Is it something that you could do if you were still holding down the full-time job and do this, you know, maybe one or two nights a week, or would it be better if you were retired or semi-retired so you have more time to devote to this?
I would say both. We've had folks that have been involved who are retired that are teaching classes right now. And it's possible that we could offer classes in the evenings, depending on the classes. And so even if there was somebody that was working a full-time job right now and they wish to teach and they're selected, then they could be, we could try to schedule something in the evening, try to work around their schedule too. So,
and I imagine they would have to make time for you folks to give them the curriculum you want them to teach and become familiar with it and how it normally goes through the process, because it has to meet your standards for the student at the end of the semester to achieve the goals required in that course.
Yes, we actually have a quasi mentoring process that we use, you know, with instructors.
The distance, if you were a professor, you'd know what quasi mentoring
is. it's not a full blown mentoring process, but we try to get somebody from, you know, our full-time department areas to try to get together with the new instructor and make them familiar with the curriculum and then the assessments and everything that goes along with the class to make sure that there's consistency between what happens on campus, what's online, what's off campus, and that type of thing.
And what to look for if people are struggling, you know, maybe you need to go more over this. So if they don't have this by the time they get to the next step, they're going to be totally lost. And that's what a professor, I think, needs to be cognizant of is, here, we've accomplished this. Let's go to the next thing.
Exactly right, yes.
Now, the Adjunct Career Fair, do they need to pre-register? Do they need to let you know they're coming, or how does that work?
They can just stop in, again, March 20th, this Friday, from 2 to 6.
Right out at the Tech Center.
Right at the Tech Center
there. I'm sure you'll have signs all over the building for head here for the...
They come through the front door, we'll take care of them.
And if they're not sure where the Technical Center is, it's at 1160 South Van Dyke, right here in Bad Axe, Michigan.
West end of town on M53 as you're heading out. You can't miss the huge building there. And it's got the little windmill thing going around in the front of it. So.
Or when in doubt, look for the water tower.
You're right being in front of the water tower there. And is there a particular door they need to go in? Most schools have some type of security these days, and you got to go in the
Just come
right
through
place.
The front door.
Main doors in the front should do her.
That would be great.
Alrighty. And bring a resume? And anything
yes.
else they need to bring?
No, just have them bring a resume, and they can leave that with somebody, either myself or with somebody in HR, and then the application materials will be reviewed and go from there.
Do they need to let you know the type of course they'd like to teach, what they feel they're... Because you have to find people to meet the demand of what you have, not
yes.
create a course that nobody's coming to, but you've got an instructor for.
Having a cover letter that might address what their experience is in and where their interest lies and how they can, you know, best use their skills to, you know, serve the community, that would be helpful as well, I think. Or just, you know...
Because it may get passed into the hierarchy of the school, and
sure.
you got to meet them one-on-one there,
right.
but the next person down the chain, this would be a handy thing for them to have.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And if parents want to get involved, their kids involved in the college courses, their first step is their school counselor or their regular high school counselor to see if their kids qualify and if there's program space available and that such a thing.
Yes, if they'd contact their local high school, and if they have any other questions regarding that, they can contact us at the tech center and we can help and assist them even getting through the formalities to get back to their home school. We want to see the education expand here in Huron County, and so whatever it takes, whatever we can do to help, we will.
When should parents start this process? Do they need to do it the first year they're in high school so there's room 2 years down the road if they're a junior or maybe their sophomore year? Because we are, as a people, procrastinators, and, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the grease, all those other cliches. Mm-hmm. But these are your kids, and you want the best for them, and you want to get the ball rolling as soon as you can.
If they can plan ahead and start as freshmen their ninth grade year to know what they have to have at their local district so that they can be prepared for their junior-senior year, it would help tremendously. Or at least by the fall of their 10th grade year to be prepared to register by the spring of their 10th grade year to start in the fall of their junior year. So it's really a 6-month to possibly up to 18-month advance.
So,
start early,
and never too soon.
Never too soon to ask the questions.
Very good. And again, that starts with their own school, and once that's taken care of and they're in the program, then they end up at the tech center, and you folks also help them along the way.
That is correct.
Thanks for being with us. I hope you get a good turnout on Friday for your adjunct career fair.
Thank you.
And I'm sure professors know what adjunct means. The rest of us, we got a Wikipedia. And I hope you get a good turnout, and I'm glad you're there for the kids. I'm glad for the kids who would be bored otherwise, because a lot of times, you know, the schools are small, enrollment's going down, and then some of the more advanced courses they just couldn't offer anymore, and this is a way to keep them challenged and keep them focused on education.
Wonderful opportunity.
And we'd like to thank you and WLEW for allowing us to be here today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our guests today on the program have been Doug Haslett, Assistant Principal at the Huron Area Tech Center, and Rick Smith with Mid-Michigan Community College, the off-campus program coordinator. If you're interested in college courses for your kids in high school, you need to start quickly just as they get into high school, get the ball rolling. And if you are out of school and looking to brush up on your skills, it's also a good opportunity through the Huron Area Tech Center and Mid-Michigan Community College to maybe get some courses to further your career along. I would like you to stay tuned. Coming up at the top of the hour, we will clue you in on all the latest in the news.